she's very strong, tough woman who knows exactly what she wants, knows exactly how to get it, and is kind of the den mother of all these girls, takes them under her wing and shows them the ropes so they too can benefit from her wisdom. She also is one of these people who has figured out the game. She knows how it's played at this level, and she's not going to be taken advantage of.
That was Jennifer Lopez talking about her role in the new movie Hustlers. And we're going to talk about that movie as well as, which is doing well at the box office, It Chapter 2, the sequel to the highest grossing horror film of all time, It. And we're going to talk about Where's My Roy Cohn, a new documentary that opens next week. And I'm Neil Rosen, joined as always by Bill Bregoli.
That's right. That's me.
That's not all, folks, because we've also got Bill McCuddy.
With a roll of dollar bills from the movie Hustlers last night.
And that's right. They gave us all dollar bills and G-strings.
Coming to you live on tape from the Plaza Hotel.
We're in a Plaza suite.
We're in a Plaza suite, yeah. You know,
it's not really a suite.
No big explanation about this place. I was in town. It was free, so thank you to the Plaza. But I just want to bring up that across the street from the Plaza, we talked a couple weeks ago, is the one of the last great little independent movie theaters called The Paris. And it still got, and it closed like over the summer. And it still says Pavarotti is playing there. Like the scumbag realtor left the last thing up instead of closed because I'm a douchebag, which is what I'd like to see on that.
Well, City Cinemas, which owns that theater and closed it, also just closed last week.
The Beekman, right? Or the something.
The Beekman, which is a twin. Well, not the original Beekman, which was on 2nd Avenue between 65th and 66th Street, which was there since the 1950s. And scene of the very famous Woody Allen movie in Annie Hall when they go to see The Sorrow and the Pity, and very famous scene in Annie Hall.
We promise this is going to mean something right to you around the country besides just New York.
This black building a block up across the street, this big glass black building, had a twin theater. They took the name The Beekman, and City Cinemas just closed that as well. Yeah. So all these movie theaters are closing, and it's really sad. I don't think there's any single screen movie theater left in Manhattan.
There used to be I'll bet you both forgotten this. There used to be a movie theater in this hotel, in the Plaza Hotel.
It was called Cinema 3.
Right. Downstairs where the Todd English now has a food hall, part of that, a corner of that, was a tiny little movie theater that was really cool.
Yeah. There were a million movie theaters in the city. And
we sound like old guys, and we are. But this is sad because it's happening not just in New York but around the country. And there were things in New York. There were places like the Ziegfeld in New York. We've talked about this on other podcasts, so I don't want
to
revisit it.
All right, so let's move on to Hustlers. Okay, so which one of you guys? So we're going to play the game, which we always do. I didn't see it. Bill Bregoli and Bill McCuddy did. And they're going to convince me, or they're going to tell me whether, I'm going to tell you afterwards whether I want to see it or not. So one of you guys, tell us and tell me about the movie.
Well, it's based on a true story, right, Bill?
Yeah, that's what it says at the beginning, which I said quietly in my row, doesn't make it good. To a couple of Snickers. But it's based on a true story. I think in New York Magazine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Written by a woman who's played in the movie by Julia Stiles. She's the reporter character. And it's framed around that.
Yeah, she has very little screen time, by the way. Julia Stiles is interviewing after the fact, obviously. It traces from, I think, like 2007 to like 2015. And it she's interviewing Constance Wu, who's kind of the star of the movie, as one of the proteges that J-Lo, Ramona, draws into this world. This world being strip clubs, but then they move.
Supposed to be Scores.
Scores is a New York place that's since closed. It was infamous for lots of hedge fund guys and football players.
And I went there once.
And for Neil Rosen and Bill Bregoli. Yeah. So,
just once.
They learn quickly that to make real money, they should get off the stage and hustle guys in bars, taking them back to either hotels or apartments, and then giving them a mixture, a cocktail of something that makes them just woozy enough that they can still sign a credit card voucher. It's kind of a male roofie.
It's a mixture of ketamine and MDMA.
Yeah, okay. All right. Kids, don't try this at home.
There's a recipe.
I don't know what those things are.
And there's a funny recipe scene where they start screwing around with the formula and pass out a couple of times in their experimentation. So there's a real thing with you, and it looked like cocaine. So guys,
signing away like their
expense accounts.
Yeah, and they had a way of calling the credit card companies and finding out what the maxes were, J-Lo did, and then they would run the max on them. And that was the perfect crime because the guys wouldn't, they split the money, and they were greasing a lot of doormen and club owners.
It was the perfect crime, I'm saying,
because the guys don't admit to their wives or their or anybody that they got drunk with a bunch of strippers and spent $50,000.
Wow.
So lo and behold,
don't give it. Don't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, right. That's all you need to know. And yeah. And what Bergoglio and I were saying when we left was, first of all, it was much, much better than I thought from the trailer. The trailer has a joke in it where J-Lo's in a holding pen and says, Tony would never let this happen, and pulls out a phone, and everybody goes, who gave her phone back? It's like a funny moment. It makes you think it's kind of a comedy, this movie. It's really fairly hardcore. And we were saying that it felt like a Scorsese film if Martina Scorsese had made this film. And I know you're going to go, come on. It's a little dubious, but it really was.
Right down to the opening tracking shot. There's a tracking
shot.
Yeah,
there's
right
an opening tracking shot right out of Goodfellas.
Walking into a strip
club.
Like
the Copa scene where he's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. In most Scorsese films, there is a... And it's not like comedic ha-ha, but even Goodfellas. Woody Allen has said that he finds Goodfellas to be like a very, you know, dark comedy
right.
in many ways. And Casino too. There's very
yeah. There are a couple of running gags in this to answer your question.
There are some comedic moments. Does it have a humorous like undertone or tone to it? You know,
in a couple of places.
Yeah.
There's a running gag of a girl who can't stop throwing up, which is kind of funny.
Really funny.
And there's an Asian. Constance Wu's mother.
Actually, it's a grandmother.
Grandmother keeps accepting these huge bundles of cash and saying, good girl, and that's kind of funny.
So they're
because,
basically investing the cash or just burying it or something like that when they get
it? Oh, they're spending it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big
so
apartments.
There's actually buzz on this movie that it could go all the way to the
I know they're talking about Oscars because it just played at
Toronto
yeah, and everybody got excited about it. I don't think it's an Oscar film. I'm not sure. It's going to be in my top 10 list, but it might be. It might
Constance Wu, there was a whole controversy a couple of months ago, and which the cast member said, no, it's fine, but I guess the media made something out of it that she wanted top billing, and she got top billing. Is she really the star of the movie?
Kind of.
The lead.
She's technically the lead.
So she deserved top billing. It's not like J-Lo is the bigger star, obviously. I mean... Constance Wu.
To me, they are Constance Wu and J-Lo are Butch Cassidy and Sundance. I mean, they're really pretty close to having the same amount of screen time.
But
on.
There's other people in this thing too, right? I mean, there's other
Cardi
B. There's four girls. Cardi B. The
Cardi B. I heard is in it for like a.
And that's a knock on the film coming out of Toronto that she doesn't have more time
is
on
that true?
Screen.
She's in it
and,
for like,
yeah,
well, when
I don't.
She's there. She's definitely there.
She's really funny in the beginning, and you do want more of her. But I didn't miss her at the end of it. I read this whole thing about Cardi B should have been in the whole movie, and I guess it would have been better, or it would have been different. But I thought it was great to work without her.
What studio released this? This was...
STX.
Yeah, the famed STX, yes.
Yeah. Not a big one.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that they thought this movie was going to be as good as it is. I think Jennifer Lopez was brave to sign on. You know, we've been... reading and reporting too in the New York Post. I've been writing about how A-Rod bought her her own pole at home, and she was like really working out to play this part, and she's really good. She's like, there are parts of this film when you see it that'll remind you of Flashdance because it's got the same kind of big, you know.
Well, how about Coyote? Remember Coyote Ugly? The other stripper movie?
Yeah, well, that's funnier.
Did you do that? Did either of you guys do that junket?
No.
With the
Piper Perabo, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And then they had the big after party at Roseland. They turned the whole place into a... Roseland into the strip club. Well, it was supposed to be... There was this place
Hogs and Heifers.
Used to work at New York one around the corner. Yeah.
Hogs and Heifers.
Hogs and Heifers. And there was a... Right, so they turned this whole place into a... Like a Hollywood movie set.
So this movie was like going home for you because you were a regular at Hogs and Heifers and you walked in on this place.
I never went into Hogs and Heifers. Hogs and Heifers had all these... There was a big sign because when I used to drive to work back in the day, and now you can't park anywhere in New York, there used to be a big sign in front that said, keep your pipes down because all these motorcycle guys were there. He goes, you know, low pipes make good neighbors or something. So I guess all these... It was a motorcycle... hangout place.
Yeah, it was a rough joint.
All these guys were revving their engines and stuff.
Yeah, and then it became, well, the meatpacking district turned into, got gentrified.
Yeah,
but
very gentrified.
Then it turned into kind of a tourist place. And, you know, the girl, if you really did get your tie cut off or taken away from you if you walked in there with a tie.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because when I think of that movie, that's what I think of, is the tie being cut off.
They destroyed a good tie. That was a good tie.
The Wall Street finance guys would go in, and they would cut the ties off. You know?
Yeah.
Which is like an old, like, Johnny Carson bit, you know, when, if you remember Carson, he would sit at the desk, and he would, like, once in a while, he would, like, somebody would cut his tie off or something.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
No. I don't remember that.
That is weird wild. I do not remember that.
You know, Johnny Carson,
oh,
I digress, is on television.
Again?
They run entire episodes of the show on something called, this network called Antenna TV.
Yeah, I've watched it.
And I was watching it last night. It's like the opening
hold
music.
Up.
Here's Johnny, and Johnny, like, it's not like little, like, when you watch the Johnny Carson anniversary show and they show you, like, you know, a bit 2 minutes. These are entire shows, you know, and
right.
Some of them are from, like, the 70s or the 80s. Some of them are from, like, the 90s, but it's kind of like, so anyway, I'm watching this show last night, true story, and this is from
why would we doubt this?
1992,
uh-huh.
And I'm watching The Monologue, which is, you know, some of it's dated, but some of it's kind of generic, and the punchline to a joke, which had the audience really, really laughing hard, was a Donald Trump mistress joke from 1992. Isn't that something? You know?
I was way ahead of my time. That is weird wild.
Yeah. So, all right, so you've convinced me. I'm going to see it, but I'm probably...
And you can take your wife. You can take your daughter. Maybe it'll give her some career ideas. I mean, it's...
for some fashion tips.
Well, I will go see it. Although I will tell you that we're coming into, you know, it's already the middle of September, and we're going to be getting the critics screeners soon.
We've already started.
Really?
Yeah, I got pets.
Yeah, Secret Life of Pets.
Two.
Well, and I'm saying
National Geographic.
So whether I see it in a theater or whether I wait like a month to get the screener of it, is it something that I need to see on a big screen, or is it something that would work
well,
with a screener?
Well, no, you can see it, but...
Would it lose?
No, it won't lose much, I would say, right?
No, huge.
But it's a lot of fun to see this movie with people because... When J-Lo in the first scene is on a roof in a giant mink coat and little Constance Wu walks out and says, "Will you help me learn how to be a dancer?" Everybody cracks up. I mean, it's like a communal thing. I could see this becoming kind of a cult movie, too.
All right. Anyway, so we'll move on.
You'll go. You'll see it. And you'll bring your wife.
Yeah, I'm going to go. And whether I'm leaning towards going to actually see it in a movie theater, although you're telling me again that I won't lose anything if I do see it like on my big... television.
Your big television, sure. My little television, I think I would. I wouldn't get to see the G-strings.
All right. Well, I don't know. It sounds like fun. I think I'll go see it. I have so much to see, though. You know what I mean?
It's such a burden being
New
you.
New York Film Festival.
You're busy watching Johnny Carson reruns. You have
so much to see. You got time on your hands.
Come on.
That's funny. All right. So the movie It was the highest, which is kind of shocking. Is that would have been a couple of years ago, the highest, how many years ago was it, two?
2017.
Right. Was the highest grossing horror film of all time, which is really kind of, if you think of all the horror films that have come, you know, Halloween and, you know.
No, it was based on a very popular book and most of the others were.
All of these things.
My daughter Lily and I went the opening weekend, and of that one, we were disappointed. And I hear this one at 2 hours and 20 minutes.
2 hours and
little...
49 minutes.
So Bill Rigoli saw it.
That's right. 2 hours.
Now all the kids from what's that town?
Derrytown.
Derrytown. They're all grown up now, and the clown and Pennywise the clown comes back or something like that.
You've done my job for me.
I didn't see it, but that's what I read.
That's what happens.
And that takes 2 hours and 49 minutes?
Well, there's a whole...
It's 2 hours and 49 minutes.
Yeah, he said that 10 minutes ago.
Well, part of that is there's a whole put the gang back together portion of the film where they all meet up with each other. One of the kids who's grown up doesn't make it to the group, and that's part of... I'm not going to give away why. But everybody else gets together. They go up to Derry. And then the movie slows down again to have all these... in order to get rid of Pennywise, they need to do this voodoo kind of spell. And they have to have a token sort of thing to put into this pot. And magically, Pennywise will disappear eventually.
I'm asleep already.
Yeah. And
God.
an order for every, it's like a, they need something from their past, some sort of item from their past. So they go back to where they grew up, and each of them has a run-in with Pennywise. And there's a lot of the original kids who were in the first movie are in this too. A lot of flashbacks. And apparently, in 2 years, the kids aged, so they had to digitally de-age some of the kids.
Again with that, so it was expensive.
Yeah. So
like
it wasn't
the Irishman.
Cheap. And there's a Stephen King cameo. I'll give that away.
Well, I guess money isn't that much of an object when you're the highest grossing horror film of all time and you're making a sequel. I guess they have money to do that.
Sure. And then that means they can put in extra scenes that make it slow and clunky, which is pretty much
Stephen King has a cameo in this movie.
Yes, sir.
Has he ever done that in another one of his movies?
He has, actually, yeah.
Okay, so he's becoming like the Stan Lee.
He was under the bed in Misery, but we just didn't see him.
He's becoming the Stan Lee of...
Yeah, he plays a grumpy antique store owner.
And he's in there for like a minute.
Yeah, Bill Hader does a very... Everybody does a really good
job. Yeah, there's Bill
job.
Hader. There's other people of note in this thing, too,
that's right?
Right.
And they're good. Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, now, this is amazing. I mean, that somebody... I mean, I see Jessica Chastain as a prestigious type of actor, you know what I mean? That she wouldn't be in this kind of thing.
She is, and she can scream.
And
she's a good scream queen.
I guess that's what it's come to, you know what I mean? It's like the
I'd
movies,
like to make her scream.
You know, it's funny. Let's finish this first. So
plans
not as good as the first.
It's not as good as the first one.
Okay. You like the first one. I remember we did it on the podcast.
The first one was fun. This isn't as much fun. It takes too long. It's, as I said, clunky.
How are the scares?
Basic jump scares. Uh-huh. And there's some creatures in it that some that are great. There's a great scene in a Chinese restaurant where creatures crawl out of the fortune cookies and attack everybody. That's kind of fun.
I like that.
But then there are other beings and creatures that look really CG and awful. But the best moments in the film are the human moments between characters. Really, it's not that.
Isn't that always the case?
Yeah,
Bill.
Isn't that nice? But I don't really.
It's
I wouldn't kill myself to go see it.
It's not going to surpass. Equal monetarily the first one.
That's right.
Okay, and that's because it's not as good as the first one?
That's
or
right.
Okay.
It's also because it's 2 hours and 49 minutes and can't play as
what I was going to say was, it's funny how everything is backwards. You know, I was on Fox 5 last week talking about the same thing.
Regale us with this.
Well, it's just weird how everything is upside down. Like, if you go back to movies from, I'd say, the 30s all the way up to, like, the 80s, you know, the movies that are now the big money-making movies for the studios and in general are the movies that were the B and C movies for the studios. The comic book movies, the action movies, these superhero stuff, these horror films, these weren't the prestige.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood could have been a drive-in movie.
Well.
And it's made $300 million.
Well, they're saying that I was looking at your site, goldderby.com, and all the critics, or a lot of the critics on that, are saying that that's going to be win the best picture at the Oscars.
Yeah, that's the early word. I mean, there's a ton of stuff we haven't seen yet.
Joker is a big deal now.
They say that Joaquin Phoenix now and Tom Hanks are the two front runners for best actor, and I would be really stunned if Brad
Has Joaquin
Pitt
Phoenix
didn't,
ever won an Oscar?
Yeah, I think so. Didn't he?
Did he win for Walk the Line? Reese Witherspoon did. Did he win?
I don't know.
We only do this professionally. But I think that Brad Pitt is a lock for supporting.
Yeah, Brad Pitt's
I don't
great.
Think DiCaprio is going to win Best Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I think Brad Pitt is due.
Well, again, all the stuff that's going to be nominated, 95% of it, we haven't seen yet.
Right.
It's all going to come out. Well, it's going to be released in theaters in November and December, and we're going to start seeing it like within a couple of weeks. I mean, we haven't even seen the Irishman yet, you know, so who knows?
Well, we're seeing that next week.
Yeah.
The 27th, right?
Wow.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, you know, there's so much stuff. The Laundromat, that's a Meryl Streep movie. I mean, there's all this prestigious shit that's coming out that, you know, and they just cram it all into like a 5-6 week period, 2 months tops. So it's really hard to make predictions at this particular point. And generally speaking, the stuff that wins Oscars is not the stuff like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which came out in August. It's the stuff that gets released in November, December. So I think
there are exceptions. The Gladiator came out earlier in the year.
But,
so did
but, you know, to make it to the, you got to be a really amazing movie to make it to the finish line if you came out in the summer or early in the year. And there are a couple of those. But I'm saying that it's very, I think it's foolish to predict.
Even have this conversation.
To predict what's going to happen.
That's how I feel about this podcast almost every week.
You know,
hey, what did you see, Neil?
What did I see? I saw a documentary that I think Bill saw already.
Our buddy Bill Boggs is in it.
He is in it.
Half a minute.
It's a very interesting documentary. It's called, it's about Roy Cohn. The exact title of the film is, Where's My Roy Cohn? And Roy Cohn, for those who are unacquainted with Roy Cohn, was a... Well, I guess as he says in the movie, what's the title of your obit going to be? And he goes, "We all know what it's going to be." He was McCarthy. That I was the counsel during the McCarthy era, you know.
And then, sure enough, they show his obit, and that's the headline.
Yeah, but he was a real mean piece of shit guy who
self-hating homosexual who was in the closet.
Self-hating Jew. Self-hating gay.
He was self-hating a lot of
right,
stuff.
And he. Is the guy that was responsible for sending Julius and Ethel Rosenberg to the electric chair. And he got all these people off that were guilty.
Including Ian Schrager. And he's a big component in all the Studio 54 lore. So that makes him
Well, that's mentioned in that in the Studio 54 documentary about his part in that. But he also was the mob lawyer. He was very connected. But the real interesting thing about the movie is that his protege was a young Donald Trump. And if you look at all the things that Cohn did and you look at what Trump is doing, you go, oh, this is just like the parallels are just crazy. I mean, about the fact that he's saying, if you're guilty, never say you're wrong. As a matter of fact, spin it. And double down on it and say, we won.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you lose, say
Because, in fact, Roy Cohn, early in his career, McCarthy thing, they also sued the Army, and on television, senators called him a fairy, and he still, like, spun that into a win.
Right, and they say, like,
he was
like,
the master
dominate the media and the news. Nobody reads the articles. They're just going to look at the headline. Distract, come out with it. You know, even if it's not true. It's like all of these things that Trump is doing.
Right.
He learned from Roy Cohn. And I think that certainly the director of the documentary is trying to make that point. But I think he makes it in a really good way that, you know, that Trump was the student.
I wanted more of that, actually. And I wanted him to try and go see Trump the way, you know, Michael Moore always tries to get the victims to come out and talk to
him. Well, he's dead. He died.
No, not Roy Cohn.
Roy Cohn died at 59 years old of AIDS.
Talking about
Trump. He denied that he had AIDS and then he was gay all the way till the end.
To Mike Wallace. There's a lot of really good found footage or existing footage
of
Roy Cohn.
He's
been interviewed by... He supposedly was going to marry Barbara Walters, which pissed her off because she knew... That's what he would tell people.
But that's like the Liberace... Yeah. Behind the candelabra thing where, like, my true love, Sonia Henny, you know,
right.
Like, it was just some stupid publicity thing that he planted. But they were good friends, and apparently had a lot of friends, you know, and he knew how to play the media, play the politicians. There's this one scene where they show you, like, that he would throw this party and everybody was there, like, all the high rollers in politics, like Koch was there and... You know,
right,
and all the people, mobsters, like it was like everybody in high positions of power, no matter whether they were from the crime element or the political element. You would really like this, Bill Pergola.
Yeah, but then
this is your kind of movie.
But then he's disbarred, and nobody comes to his parties.
But he was disbarred, and he died like 5 weeks after he was disbarred or something.
Well,
like that.
Yeah, but they no, it wasn't. It was
no,
was
look
like,
it up.
He threw a big party and nobody came.
I know. It's
which is
like
kind of cool.
Nobody loves you when you're down and out, you know, Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes. But, yeah.
So we recommend that. Based on what we've said,
yeah,
would you
it's real
it?
Good. It's real
yeah,
good.
I'd like to see it.
And it's a well done. Not only is it an interesting story about Roy Cohn, I think it's a really well put together doc. I mean, whoever directed this did a really fine job of, you know, not only drawing the Trump parallels, but actually painting a picture of this.
He's done other docs, and it's a guy who used to write for Vanity Fair. And I want to say the name is Tynauer.
It's quite good. But when you watch Trump and what he's doing and then you watch what Roy Cohn was doing, it's like this was the playbook. This is here's the playbook. Here's what you do.
Yeah, everybody should see this. If you thought you knew about Roy Cohn, you maybe didn't know some stuff about it.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Everybody says how this is pure evil. This guy was pure evil. This guy had no conscience. They go, do you have any remorse about Ethel and Julius Rosenberg? If I could have pulled the lever myself, no problem. You know, like, I'm sorry I didn't pull the lever. I mean, this guy had no conscience. And they say at the end of the movie something along the lines of, you know, when you have power, you know, when somebody has no conscience and is that full of themselves, you know, it's very dangerous. And
well, he says it. Ken, who is the guy that interviews him? Ken Alueta, the author. How do you say that guy's last name? Anyway, there's a lot of Q&A with the two of them, and he says, you know, what's your weakness? He says, well, I have no compassion.
No conscience whatsoever. And just knows how to rig the system and beat the system and getting guilty people off. And
that's our president. So see that movie.
And then there's the Lionel Train thing, which was kind of interesting also.
Yeah.
He's like his family.
He ran every company that he had was given responsibility for. He ran into the ground and stole money from. And that's ultimately what he gets disbarred for. It's like Capone. They found something else. They couldn't prove any of the other stuff. Right. So they found this one thing.
Last thing on this, they say in the documentary that his uncle or something went bankrupt and went to jail or something for doing something. And
could you be a little vaguer?
No. It was something that this is the turning point in his life that he wanted to prove that he would, you know, he said if he was the lawyer back
then. Oh, yeah,
then,
earlier. Yeah. He could have gotten him off.
He
ran one of the first Jewish banks, the Bank of United States or Bank
right,
of.
And this was a motivator during the Depression.
It was the one that had a run on it.
It embarrassed, like, his relatives, and he always wanted to, like, This was like the catalyst in his life of like, this isn't going to happen to me.
Now you don't need to see the movie because we basically told you the whole thing.
No, it's a great movie. Really great documentary. So let's look back on the summer. Before we do that, you know, there's another, I was talking about the antenna network. There's another network called Movies. And the Taxi Driver was on last night. And I'm watching, and they have all these film noir, they have film noir night on Thursdays. And I'm watching this movie, which I never saw, called The House on Telegraph Hill from 1951 with Richard Basehart, who most audiences would know from, I think, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, wasn't that?
Right.
Yeah. And this would make, just the way they redid the, with Kate Winslet, they redid Mildred Pierce, which I thought was way too long. It was a 6-part miniseries on HBO. It was much tighter as a 2-hour movie with Joan Crawford. This would make a great miniseries if somebody got a hold of this. It's about a woman who is in a concentration camp during World War II.
So it's a musical?
And she, no, it's not the producers. And she befriends this other woman who's has rich relatives in the United States, and that relative has no heirs. And this woman dies in the concentration camp, and she assumes the identity of this woman, so she's able to get to the United States. You know,
talented Mrs. Ripley.
You couldn't just go to the United States. You had to, right? So she gets to come to the United States and pretends to be this other person. And this gigolo guy, played by Richard Basehart, marries her to get to the fortune. And I won't tell you anymore, but this would be a great. I think it's on demand. I mean, I think if you go to this movies thing on demand, you could probably pull up the movie. It's terrific, but it would make so many of the scenes are so short. Like the concentration camp thing is like 10 minutes. The talking to the U.S. immigration officials, trying to convince them that she's really this other person and that it's all quick, just like the original Mildred Pierce. And if somebody's listening to this in our vast audience of podcast listeners.
The many greenlit.
This would be a really great
movie executives that listen to our
this
podcast.
This would be a great 6-part miniseries.
Neil would only settle for executive producer credit.
Robert Evans is sitting at home
and
now.
And give it another title because I think The House on Telegraph
Should
Hill
I do it?
A
you bet.
Title.
Will I? No way.
But anyway, so that's it. Anyway.
Will I regret it in a minute?
So a lot of movies bombed this summer. You know, now that we're out of the summer, if you think about it, a lot of things that were super hyped this summer just really didn't.
For example?
Yes, give me an example.
No, though. You tell us. You brought this topic up.
Yeah. Well, they're so not unmemorable that I don't even remember them, but I just remember the Aquaman.
Jesus.
Okay, Aquaman.
Aquaman did well.
You think
mostly
so?
Mostly overseas, money. But yeah. There were a lot of did better overseas than did here.
Okay. So far, this topic is not going well.
Well, let's see what we're looking forward to in the fall, since none of us can remember the unmemorable the thing.
You mentioned Springtime for Hitler and the producers, and supposedly there's a movie that's up at Toronto called Jojo Rabbit, I think.
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit.
That's supposed to be a satire on
yes,
all of
yes,
that.
I saw and the trailer. It's a comedic Hitler. Or something.
Yeah.
Hitler's like a 10-year-old kid or something?
Tiki Waititi.
No, the 10-year-old kid imagines Hitler, and Hitler comes to him the way played against Sam Bogart came to Woody
Allen. Oh, okay.
So,
not those candles, you idiot. Those are for a Jewish holiday. played against Sam.
Yeah, it's actually the director. He's played by the director of one of the Thor movie that was funny. Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be way over the top and just unwatchable and horrible. But
really? And
some people love it.
Is it Wes Anderson?
Some people think it's cool. No, it looks like Wes Anderson is the point. It's got that twee kind of very overdone kind of sets and bright colors, and that's supposed to make it more horrific.
Well, there's a movie coming out called Marriage Story by Noah Baumbach. With Scarlett Johansson.
Adam Driver is supposed to be a real contender for best actor.
Yeah, so that's something that's getting a lot of buzz these days.
It's called The Contemporary Kramer versus Kramer.
And, well, I like Noah Baumbach all the way back to Squid and the Whale with Jeff Bridges. And wasn't Jesse Eisenberg? Was it Jesse Eisenberg in Squid and the Whale? I don't know.
I believe he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noah Baumbach's good. Is he still with Greta Gerwig? Or has Greta Gerwig?
I hope not.
I don't know.
I keep calling her, and she keeps hanging up.
Isn't she doing Little Women?
Yeah, she is doing that. That's done. That's in the. We're going to see that for. That's going to be.
That's a big Oscar contender.
It's a good trailer too.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's a big Oscar.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So Greta Gerwig's doing a period drama.
That's right.
Is she going to do it?
Period. Gross.
Sophia Coppola, the way she did with the Kirsten Dunst.
We'll have to see. I don't know.
We don't know.
Is it Kirsten Dunst?
No, it's. It's
Kirsten.
Kirsten. Okay.
Okay.
God, again, we do this for a living. you can tell now that for his whole career, he was heavily edited. It's not in modern time, if that's what you're asking.
No. The Sofia Coppola, Marie Antoinette movie.
Oh, yeah.
Was shot in Versailles.
Yeah.
But she did kind of like a Baz Luhrmann thing.
Right. With
where,
contemporary
like,
music
way,
and stuff like that.
The way in like The Great Gatsby, they started playing Jay-Z music.
Right.
They start dancing in Versailles in period.
No, I don't. This looks
contemporary music.
This looks faithful in to the time period.
Watch
in the trailer. But you should see the trailer.
Well, what do you? There's this Natalie Portman movie coming out called Lucy in the Sky, where
she's an astronaut.
Who comes back and is very bored on Earth compared to outer space and starts having, I believe, an affair with John Hamm from Mad Men.
Yeah.
That's coming out. Mm. Gemini Man's coming out. That's a Will Smith movie.
Will Smith versus Will Smith.
Right. He's at war with a clone of himself.
Which would look like a total piece of shit, except Ang Lee is the director.
Right.
And he's made some Hulk. He's made some weird things.
Well, he did Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I know. This is not Brokeback Mountain.
With the Key Party, the Ang Lee movie.
That's the iconic 60s Ice Storm.
Ice Storm,
yeah. The Ice Storm with Tobey Maguire.
He did that Woodstock movie.
Tell me I can't think of the title.
Yeah. And with, and what's her name from West Wing?
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney, yeah. That's right. Very good. What do we have for Bill?
What?
It's a new car. That's right, Bill. From Lincoln Mercury. It's the Montego.
All right. So that's our show, huh?
That's next week,
Charlie's Angels.
Oh, boy.
Charlie's Angels.
He's got more. He always has more.
Is that going to tank Charlie's Angels?
Who knows?
With Kristen Stewart is one of the angels.
Why not?
And we have the new Eddie Murphy movie, Dolomite Is My Name.
Yeah, we're going to see that.
It's got a whole list of them, folks.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And there's also, speaking of Kristen Stewart, she plays Jean Seberg in a movie.
Oh, right. Yeah. That wasn't it. That was at Deauville or Berlin. We played some festival
those,
where they were talking about how good she is.
Maybe
in
Venice,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody care who Jean Seberg is? I mean,
not me.
For anyone listening who doesn't know, it was a 60s kind of star who was from Italy, I think, or
no, she was from the Midwest. But did a movie for did movies in France.
Oh, okay.
And was burned during one movie in which she played Joan of Arc and was scarred on her body. Yeah.
Oh well, now that's okay. So if the movie's about that, maybe it's kind of interesting.
It's interesting.
All right.
Would The Lion King, before we go, speaking of summer stuff, be considered? I know it made a lot of money. But would it be considered a disappointment?
Yes, it would be considered a disappointment.
Not critically, financially.
No, I understand what you're asking.
Yeah, well, it could have been critically.
Financially, yeah. And so we could say the same of Aladdin, because we were just talking about Will Smith. Aladdin was, I think, a big bust.
Well, Lady and the Tramp, which is coming out, I think that's not going to be in theaters. I think that's straight to Netflix or something like that.
Disney is its own streaming service. Oh. It'll go straight to Disney Plus, as it's called.
Well, did you see?
I will tease you with one last thing before we go, because I'm going to tease with one last thing, because then we got to go.
That's right.
This new platform, Disney Plus, along with a couple more, including Apple,
that has Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
So why don't you make my point for me? If you go to a website called Ankler or read an article in the New York Times of about 10 days ago, Netflix days are numbered, according to them. Now, we have lots of friends over at Netflix, and I hope it's not true, but they're allegedly not making any money, and they're spending way too much money. And one point that one of the people quoted in this thing said was, when you think of HBO, an HBO movie, you know what that is. It has a kind of quality that you expect from HBO. There's nothing like that on Netflix. Instead, Netflix buys everything. And what I was appalled to learn, that he also said, they don't have a Game of Thrones. They don't have a show that's like, you know, you must go see. And what I was appalled to learn.
The Breaking Bad movie is coming to Netflix.
Okay.
That's a must see.
All right.
For
but
a lot of people.
Do you know what the most watched thing on Netflix is?
Friends, right?
It's Friends. Yeah, good for you. It's
are
Friends,
you serious?
followed by The Office. And that's a very bad problem
for
Netflix.
The Office is on Comedy Central right before The Daily Show.
Okay, but it's the repeats
are
on Netflix.
It's on like five different stations, broadcast TV.
Great, but the point is that, that it's beating their own material.
Well, similarly, would Seinfeld be the number one thing being watched on Hulu? Because that's...
Probably.
That's very
interesting. I don't know. But Netflix spends a lot of money. They've had virtually no competition, and that's about to change.
Last thing.
Okay,
this. It's what you brought up. So this Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon thing called The Morning Show, Steve Carell, I don't know if he's a regular on it or if he's...
Right.
He's like a Matt Lauer character. He gets fired early on in the first episode. That's going to be on Apple TV.
Right.
Which is going to be a new streaming service. And then there's, as you said, the Disney streaming service. And there's CBS All Access. You had mentioned in a previous podcast that Gary Delabate, Baba Booey from the Howard Stern Show, says I'm being, what is it, like $4.99 to death or something?
Oh,
like
yeah, I'm $10 to death. I see where you're going with this after a long way.
It's
like everything's $10.
You got to like subscribe to like $150 just to watch these shows?
We're back where we started when we were complaining about cable TV.
So, but eventually everybody will bundle it. Eventually there'll be like the five families will sit down and they'll go... Netflix and Disney.
That's Italian.
Yeah.
The Bozzini brothers from Chicago are coming. That's interesting. So that's what's going to happen.
I don't know. I'm saying I think so.
So maybe they'll merge. Maybe Netflix will merge. Maybe. With like Hulu and YouTube and...
But until that happens, I'm Bill McCuddy.
That's
and
right.
How do
I'm
we
Bill
find
Begoli.
You, Bill McCuddy?
I'm at Bill McCuddy. It's very difficult.
And we
on
Twitter.
I'm on Instagram.
And I'm McCuddy Bill now on Instagram.
And I'm Neil Rosen Apples on Twitter. And what do we do here every week, Bill?
We listen to you digress for hours
that's
and
the
then
best
edit
part
it down into.
That's the best part of the pod.
Yeah, I'm sure
what
everyone
do we
agrees.
Do really? Well,
we watch the bad movies
so
you
do
don't
indeed.
Have to.
And thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. We'll sit around talking movies again with you next time.